Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Find a fresh take on a fall getaway to Wilmington, North Carolina and beaches. Enjoy hiking trails in a state park, fresh seafood with a side of live music, and fall festivals galore. Then live it up along the Riverwalk in Wilmington's historic downtown. With three island beaches, Carolina, Curie, and Wrightsville, and a vibrant downtown, you get the best of the Carolina coast all in one place. Plan your fall getaway at wilmingtonandbeachesvacation.com.
What is going on, everybody? Hope you are having a great week so far. The sun is shining in the UK. However, I think when this podcast goes out, it's going to be snowing or raining or something. Typical England weather. Anyway, today on the podcast is an old friend of mine from, I think we worked out that we met each other in Ibiza from back in the days. Her name is Juliet Fox. She has been doing some amazing things in techno over the last couple of years, and I really do enjoy her music. She's just recently released a new EP called And Find Myself on her own label, which Trigambi, I'm sorry if I butchered that, Juliet, which is her own label. It's, we kind of talk about the process of the label in the podcast, but great conversation, loved it. Without further ado, Juliet Fox. Juliet Fox, we're live. How's it going, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
I haven't seen you for years.
I know. we feel like we know what everyone's getting up to, though, on socials. It's like
I know, right? It's just that kind of you. I'm kind of loud. Let me turn myself down. Yeah, it's like you just see kind of people like dotting around the world and kind of like starting new lives here, there and everywhere and just hoping that everyone's doing well. And yeah, it's kind of crazy times, right?
Yeah, I know. I guess everyone's always mostly putting up like the best version of themselves as well.
Oh yeah, no one's crying on Instagram.
Maybe I should start that.
I think it would just be literally like every DJ in the world just crying.
Yeah.
Every day.
It'd be my pity or sympathy going out.
Yeah. But hey, I guess things could be worse. No. We're not in a bad situation. What's with the Detroit Kung Fu Academy?
I know. Poster? My previous like housemate gave that to me. It's pretty cool. It's kind of like stuck around for a while now.
It's dope.
Yeah.
I've not seen it before. Like, I've not seen anything like that.
In my little setup.
Where are you in the world right now?
So in Berlin, in my studio. And it's my little den. It's my safe space.
Yeah. How long you been in Berlin for? Because last time, when was the last time I actually saw you?
I'm trying to remember, actually.
How did we meet? How did we meet?
I was also trying to work that out.
Was it Ibiza? At what point?
It probably was.
Were you living in Balkania?
Oh, I was I had a friend that was there, but I was living just around the corner in these townhouses that were like just around, just a little bit past Buddhabar.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was often at Kanya.
That was when we met.
Yeah, that's
the first time. Because I was resident there. And then, I remember meeting you there. Can you remember Ange?
Ange?
DJ Ange. Oh, no. She was Australian as well. She was like, this is so random. I was taking a piss this morning and was like, how did I meet you? And then I was like, okay, it's definitely at Kanya. Like, we're probably talking 2009. Maybe.
Yeah, the funny thing was I just found a photo of myself like playing at Kenya as well, I think, like going through old photos.
But there was a DJ called Ange, and she was like, she was Australian as well.
There was probably definitely a connection, like, it was probably more so like another Australian.
Another Australian, yeah. There's like only two funny Australians in the whole of Ibiza, and it was you and Ange.
We're rare then now. Yeah. Now we're everywhere.
Do you still live in Ibiza at all, or are you just in Berlin?
I was for actually the last, well, no, not yet last year. I feel like last year is kind of like disappeared. But 2018 and 2019, I actually shifted there. So I came to Berlin actually like over 5 years ago from London. And then my sister moved to Ibiza. And so I did the shift over there, which was pretty cool to be like based there permanent again.
What's it like in the winters there? Because I've been there in the winter and it's like kind of nice.
Yeah, it was actually really nice. I didn't get a chance to spend much of like both of the winters there. And then I think by end of 2019, I had a little bit more time there. And it's just actually like really beautiful. It's like, you know, a few bars and restaurants around and that's it. Like,
and no English people.
Yeah. It's just, or, space to lie on the beach.
Or crazy Italians.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the Italians that go to Ibiza are just like on another level.
It's the pure excitement of just like, coming and going wild.
And you think the Spanish are bad at driving, and then it comes to like Italian week in August and it is like fucking Mario Kart.
Like, not only is it like 100 degrees and then it's like so busy and so much craziness. It's an experience. And then you're like, why is no one else coming to visit this time? You're like, that's why I need to get out.
It's so hot. It's funny. I remember doing the seasons and like you're just praying for rain the whole summer.
I know.
Because you're always just so busy, or it's just always like you're just, well, I was, it's just like always just on the go, and you're like, please just rain for like one day to like clear the air, and it just never does. And then you get stormy season in September and you're like, this is heaven. And then it's disgustingly humid again. You're like, oh.
It's just such a crazy experience, because I mean the first time I went and spent like a summer there was 2010, and then it's like, when, you know, people come and complain about a few things, I'm like, hey, at least we've got internet now. And I mean, at least there are air conditionings available in some places now. I'm like, I remember what it was like.
My first year was 2007. And we were still on dial-up internet.
Yeah. I just remembered, like, at the townhouse, it was like they would come every day or every other day and like, mañana, mañana.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was 3 months into the summer, like, we finally got it. It's experience. At least you get to like try every cafe and you know, every smoothie and breakfast place doing your work.
Even the cafes, even the cafe internet sucks. It's just the internet is just like is like third world country. I think like places in Africa got better internet than bloody Ibiza. I don't get it. It was all just, I just don't understand it. But
it's just part of like the experience that they pull in for you.
Yeah, learn how to fly pigeons and send messages that way.
Exactly. I miss the place. It's like, it's funny. Like, and then I was always like, oh, I miss Berlin. And then I come back and then I'm like, oh, then I miss the beach. So I'm like, okay, now I have to just stay put for a while.
why Berlin? I know it's kind of a bit of a stupid question, but it's one of the coolest cities in Europe, I feel personally, but.
I mostly like it here because of like the excuse of having or not having to be able to do whatever you want, kind of like the freedom, so to speak. I mean, I know that you can get that in most cities and countries as well, but
I don't know, because I don't know if you can, because there's something about Berlin's like a, well, it's a capital city, right? And it's still super pretty reasonably cheap to live in.
Definitely, yeah.
Whereas, like, if you, it's cheap compared to most places in Germany, and also if you compare it to any other capital city in the world, it's like so much cheaper.
Yeah, and also it's like, yeah, I mean, now it's slightly increased in, like, you know, compared to again what it was, but it's only what's relevant. But you can still feel like you can be like this young irresponsible person, even though I'm definitely not anymore. So I still have this excuse to be able to, like, you know, run around and do what I like.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. Can you speak German?
No. Not
Come so on. How long you lived there? 5 years?
It's just my Spanish.
Can you speak Spanish?
I'm being Australian. Like, this is the, you know, we have a language of our own.
Yeah, I can't speak another language to save my life, so I'm just giving you shit because I just I moved to America. It's easy.
Yeah, of course. So, I think now that's what I think. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe after here it'll be nice to be back in an English speaking place.
Yeah,
that's just me being lazy though. No,
pretty much everyone in Berlin speaks English though, right?
Probably as well. That's the thing. Everyone speaks like five languages except for me.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy who was actually English the other day, and he was like a what's it called, primary school teacher, and he'd like taught in the UK, Germany, Italy and Spain, and could speak all the languages. And I'm like, how is your brain this good?
I know, and then like switching between them all.
Yeah, that's really cool. No, whereabouts in Berlin are you?
I'm like, the flat is in Friedrichstein, and then where my studio is it's actually part of this, it's called the Gasworks.
Okay.
And it's across from Funk House, so it's like they've got studios over there, and where I am, basically it's like the studios have all been like converted over the last like few years, but it used to be where like all the workers from the gas station were living. So it's pretty cool. It's quite like rustic.
Yeah, I like that.
But then all being treated like all the rooms, and then you can kind of again do what you like to them.
That's amazing. Do you know Jamie Anderson?
Jamie, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I did some work with him years ago in his studio in Berlin, and it was like the first time me going to Berlin. And I was like going down, like, have you been to a studio in the like bunker? No. So he's got, I don't know where his studios are, but it's in the, it's where Beatport offices are.
Oh yeah, Riverside perhaps.
Yeah, it's not Riverside. It's the one that's like next to Riverside.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He was like bigging Riverside up and saying it's like, these are like the famous ones that everyone has. But yeah, they were like, and I walked out, it was like, yeah, you just go into this like bunker and you're like, wow, this is ridiculous that there's studios down here. And they're all studios. It's not like, you just don't get that anywhere else.
No, that's what is so good about this. It's like, it's basically like a little community here. And I know they've got them in like different pockets around Berlin as well. Yeah, it's nice. Like, in fact, like the studios across the hall right now are having a rave, like, you know, so I think it just starts at any time of the day. They've got like a bit more of a common area with like the deck set up. So I'm like, that's cool. I can always knock on the door if I want to join.
That's so cool. Yeah, it's like, you just don't get that anywhere else, I don't think.
No. No, and that's the thing. I mean, I know there's some nice, super nice studios, like say in London as well. And I was even renting a studio in Ibiza, which was really nice as well. But it just happened to be a timing then where everyone like moved out, and it kind of, over summertime, there's perhaps like less people in there permanently as well. So you lose that atmosphere. No one wants to be sat inside
a studio. I did some studio. There's a studio in London that my mates work at, and it's called The Cube. Have you been there? It's kind of new.
I've heard of that though,
It's really cool. They've got like 20 or 30 different studios there. And there's like a huge communal area where like everyone eats and kind of hangs out, and there's vending machines and like table tennis. Like there's like a photo shoot area, and it's like super cool, but it's still like not, it's like very like fresh and very like prim and proper, but it's like a load of cool kids trying to be cool as well. And it's like kind of that like commercial-esque, like where people write a lot of pop music. So you kind of don't get the grittiness that you would get in Berlin at all.
Exactly. But I know what you mean. And there's, I've been to some places like that or studios like that where it's like everything's a bit too like
clean,
neat and tidy and clean. Yeah, clean. Come on down to where I am.
Yeah,
table tennis, but it's outside in the garden.
Yeah, and the wind blows the ball.
Yeah.
Always amazes me that how do people like play table tennis outside? Like the wind has to blow like the tiniest amount and your ball's just gone.
Well, that's such a thing in Berlin as well, where they've got these permanent like table tennis structures everywhere. I love it. The net's also concrete or metal, I can't remember exactly.
Just some hard material.
Yeah, you can't remove.
Yeah, I like it a lot because I like how they just reuse buildings. Like, well, I remember when I was there the first time, there was like an old apartment block that was like being done up by the government, but they hadn't started it. So the government allowed like artists to just go in and live in it and kind of do what they want. And it was like this like a fully abandoned apartment block, like six, seven floors. And each floor was just like a different party and like different people kind of running it. It was just like, you just wouldn't get that anywhere. Maybe you would in other like, maybe like second world countries that like have a little less laws, but anywhere else in Europe, you're just not going to get that.
No, it's like this where it's like kind of encouraged.
Yeah. Detroit, like where I live in Detroit, we can kind of get away with a little bit more than like the rest of the states, but it's still like now it's kind of getting locked down a lot, and police are slowly starting to like, well, they're employing more police, so like they actually care a little bit more. But yeah,
is that where you're based now, in Detroit?
When I'm in America, I've been in the UK since I've been in America in the UK since COVID.
Okay. That's what I thought. It's like everyone's kind of like bouncing between places.
Yeah.
We're allowed to go.
I was gonna go back, and then I was talking to like the person that does my visas, and she was like, English people aren't allowed back in the UK, in the US at this moment in time, unless you go via Mexico for 2 weeks. And I'm like, I'm not going to go to Mexico for 2 weeks and then go to America for like no reason. I'm just going to stay at home.
It's so much more complicated to get in.
Yeah, it's just pointless. And I'm not going to Dubai like every other person in the world. I'm just like, this is not for me.
I seem to miss out. Normally I'm like, you know, but I know actually I never seem to be able to keep up with what's going on, and then I'm like, oh, I've missed that country, oh, I've missed that one. I'm just gonna wait until it's all back to normal.
Have you just stayed in Berlin the whole time?
I was going between London.
Okay.
I was between there and Berlin, but as of like January, and it was probably the smart move to do anyway, like they pretty much we're closing up the borders anyway then.
Are you guys going into another lockdown now?
It just keeps on getting extended.
Yeah.
So it's like we get the hope and it's like it was meant to have finished last week or partly, and then now I'm just going to say June.
Yeah.
That's in my head. I'm like, okay, beginning of June, that's aim for that.
Yeah, in January this year, I was talking to my parents and I was just like, I'm just writing this year off. I'm just like, I'm mentally writing. It's going to suck, but mentally I'm writing this year off. Because
I think so too. Like we can just basically, that's why I keep on reverting back to 2019. I'm like 2020, 2021, I'm probably not going to really have much to tell. Hopefully I learned something in the time.
I think, have you learned much though? Like in your life, in your personal life, like have you like, do you feel like you've like gained more from it?
I actually do, like, at first I was like, maybe, you know, am I, maybe I'm not, like, I'm not reading enough, and I'm not like doing my personal development and say exactly learning a language. I've got all this time that I wanted in the world, but, but it seems to be like less time, because, you know, it feels like you're obviously speaking to family more, friends more, and trying to talk about like how we can deal with this more, you know. But I've realized how much I think I've changed probably in the last year already.
How do you think you've changed?
But then, yeah, I think I perhaps sometimes I go through waves and thinking like, oh, maybe I'm not, doing enough for myself, you know, and wanting to like voice my opinion. And then I go a bit reserved, and then I'm thinking, okay, calm down, there's no need to be so carried away with what I am, and let things be as well.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel sorry for my manager, because I'm just like, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And realistically, it's just like a mad 5 minutes in my head. I'm like, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that. And then I'm just like, Will, just shut the fuck up. Like, just deal with it. There's nothing
it's
we can
hard
do.
Not to.
Yeah.
Because you do, you get these ideas and you think, oh, maybe I can go here or I can go there or do some ideas, but...
Yeah, we've just resorted to releasing a shit ton of music this year, like...
It's really good.
Just, like, non-stop. And I think Ryan, my manager, sent me, like, the schedule over, like, 2 days ago, and I was like, shit, dude, we're releasing fucking so much music. Like, I'm like... It's cool, but it gives us no room to like, if I write something this year, I can't release it. It has to go out next year. So like, it's kind of a bit mad. What's going on with the label? You started a label, right?
Yeah, I have. I was going to say, like, I'm kind of like a bit the opposite, because then I think I threw all my attention onto creating this label, and then as though I was like a label manager, not actually the artist.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that part of it.
That's cool. What's the label called?
It's actually like my real surname, Trigambi, or Trigambi.
I was kind of wondering how to pronounce it, and I was like, I'm just going to fucking murder this.
Like, we'll just pass on that. But no, it's been really nice to like delve into this, because, you know, like, I love the business side of music as well. I think it's kind of given me something to concentrate on and kind of learn more that way.
I love the artwork on it. The artwork's dope.
Yeah,
it's like, how does that kind of come about? Do you do that yourself?
Yeah, I've painted both of them myself.
Oh, sick.
So I need to now sit. This is kind of my problem. I've got some other paintings, but now because I've got the tracks ready and I'm like, shit, I haven't got it done on the painting now. I need to kind of sit there and like start going wild with the paint.
It's the worst thing when you think, oh, it's just easier to do it myself and not get somebody else to do it. And then you're like, fuck, I just add so much more work into the schedule.
I know, and that's what I mean. I'm like, okay, now I've got like this side done, that side, but it's been good to balance it all off. And I'm like,
you almost need to do like a month of just like doing artwork.
Exactly.
And just do like one. So you've got one for like the next, every month for the next like 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that will actually probably help my creativity a little bit more as well. Like, you know, and just switching between, because when you're painting, you can't really like switch to the internet so easily as you can with your camera.
I was gonna say, do you like, when you're writing, do you like get distracted shit ton?
Yeah, I do.
What by?
That's why I'm better at like making music at nighttime.
Oh, really?
Like, but I try not to, like, you know, in the last say 6 months or so, I've really tried to stick to like a day routine, just for like mental health reason. No, not really for that. No, just to try and keep myself in like a good routine.
Well, realistically, we've all just become like 9-to-5ers, haven't we?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it fucking sucks.
And like asleep, I'm like, I feel like I can never sleep enough. I'm like,
oh, I still can't sleep. I had 3.5 hours last night, and I just still cannot sleep. I don't know what's going on with me, but it's not good. But the whole like 9-to-5 thing, like, I was talking to a mate the other day, and like, I the reason why I do, or I don't know, I can't speak for you, but the reason why I do it is because I do this career is because I don't want to work a 9-to-5.
Exactly.
I don't want to be that, like, although I'm very routined in my life and always have been, but it's like, I don't want to have that, like, oh, I have to go and do this, or I have to go and do that.
Yeah.
But I think COVID has just been like, well, there's nothing else to do, so I should be writing, or I should be doing this. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's not fun. And then do you follow Rick Rubin on Instagram?
No,
you need to follow him. He like posts these insane, I'm gonna pull it up now. He posts these insane Rick Rubin, like every day he just posts like one picture. And it's always like super inspirational, like, you know, the like cringeworthy inspirational Instagram quotes, things that stuff, quotes, yeah, that we all follow now and again, and then we're like, yeah, why the fuck are we following these people? His are like genuinely really good. And this last one was like, time has less patience than it used to. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, I love you, Rick Rubin.
You're like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, and then you for 5 minutes you're like, oh yes, this is, I need to like control my life through Rick Rubin's inspirational Instagram. And
that's
then
so good.
And then it's like, actually no, I forgot about that 10 minutes later and I should be writing.
I know, I was literally just having this discussion with somebody before, and that I was like, that's what your brain is like, and it's this routine, it's like, okay, get up, must do, yeah, like some meditation or exercise, have coffee, like get to the studio, mm-hmm, and then you just sit there and then you're like, oh okay, don't, you know, you feel like you don't want to sit down and read or like go for a walk, so I should be writing, I should be writing, yeah, like.
And that's literally the worst way to be creative.
Yeah.
To like go into a studio and force, like, I don't know about you, but when I write, I do make myself write, even if I'm not feeling it. Like, even when I'm touring, I still like go in the studio and just like push until something comes out. It's probably going to be shit, but it's kind of the process of doing it.
Practice, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just so different now where it's just not that same kind of creativity that kind of comes out. I don't know. No. Does meditation help you?
See, even with that, like, I don't even do it on a regular basis, okay, so to speak, but I do find it does. Like, it's more to calm my brain a little bit, or like yoga or something like that. Even if it's like 10, 15 minutes, like every other day or something, yeah, like that, it really does reset me.
I started doing this thing called Romwod, which. So one of my, I train quite a bit. So, and I built like a gym over, like in the garage, like next to me.
Over
COVID, I'm like, I still have to train. And I've been training with a friend and he's like, dude, you're so unflexible. It's like, I can't even touch my toes. It's ridiculous. And he's like, you have to do like yoga or something like that.
Yeah.
So I started a yoga. I did like one yoga session. And I was like, this is just way too like zen. Like, it was just too much. I was
like,
it
actually relax you too much, because I understand, because I originally was just like weights, yeah, like kind of that kind of fitness training. And sometimes, yeah, you come off and you're like, oh, where am I?
And the woman really annoyed me that did it. She was just like too American. And I was like, I can't deal with it. So a load of my friends do CrossFit, and they told me about this app called Romwod, and it's like the CrossFit of stretching. So it's just like, it's like, yeah, yoga, but without the zen side of it, without the like over the top kind of thing. I don't know how, yeah, to explain it, but no, it's actually, no,
I
helped.
Really appreciate it. That's why sometimes if I say, yeah, I do yoga, people, like, they, you know, you do particularly get stereotyped. And I'm like, mine is actually more fitness yoga. It's to improve, like, yeah, the flexibility, core, and like, yeah.
Yeah. And if you lived in California, you have to do yoga. It's kind of part of the law.
Exactly,
that, like,
yeah.
Eat avocados and go to yoga every day. That's pretty much what they do.
I remember that when I was actually going to States, like, for quite some time, like, and people would always ask, like, the security, it was like, what are you here for? I was like, yoga course. I think I was carrying my yoga mat with me anyway at the time. It's like, well, that's believable.
Oh, yeah. Was that before, like, having a visa or anything like that? That's so good.
That's so good. Yeah. It's okay. I have my visa now. Well, not anymore, but it's expired.
Yeah.
I think of good ways to get in.
that's a very good one. And I guess your real name isn't your DJ name.
No, exactly.
So they can't, it's not anywhere as well. Like, no. You don't talk about your real surname. So that's great.
That's it. But I mean, now it might be linked now with my label, but at least, you know, in the last like 4 years, yeah, I was coming through legally. It's okay.
We've all done it. We've all done it.
Oh, needs to
do things. Oh, wait. Did you know Molly?
Molly in...
In Ibiza.
In Ibiza. Oh, now I'm trying to think.
Molly, she was an American girl. She's like, right, super dark techno.
Yes, I do.
That's how we know each other.
Yeah. But, like, I remember it was also through a friend, like a friend of a friend.
Oh, so you weren't like best of buddies?
No, it wasn't close with it, but...
What's her name? I forgot. Molly. Like, we like hung out loads in America. Molly Goldberg. Wow. What a Jewish name.
With the crazy energy, yeah.
She lives in Berlin.
Does she?
Yeah, she was.
I'll have to have a look.
She's like... I can't even remember. She made some wicked music. Molly, I can't.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Molly, her name's not going to be down as Molly Goldberg. And if I put Molly Goldberg in...
I'm like, seeing if some other kind of...
In Instagram, it's going to be like just everyone in America.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me see.
I'm fine.
It's so Molly Moles Goldberg. I got a text her and be like, yo.
But yeah, boy, how times have changed in between all of that. It's funny because, like, say, even with the whole pandemic situation, like, I was really probably burning myself out like a lot. I mean, like 2019, even into like March, like, I was going like crazy. And I was like, always like, yeah, I'd love to just have, but it's like, as soon as you're given this time off, like, it's not really what you, it's like when you're told to have it, you don't want to have it.
It's just that typical, like, it's almost like that teenager thing, isn't it?
That's what I mean. I'm like, as soon as they're told not to do something, I'm like, what?
We're just a bunch of kids. Just like, yeah, no, it is tough, isn't it? Because it's, when I guess we do, not many, we're super lucky with what we do, right? So not many people in this world can be like, I absolutely love what I do.
Yeah.
And most people, when they're told you don't have to go to work for the next year, a lot of people are gonna be like, sick, like, sweet, let's roll on. But when you love what you do, it's like, what the fuck am I going to do?
I know, because it's like, obviously writing music is like part of it, but sharing it and then playing to people and being social, that's like probably even stronger. I mean, I was a DJ before I was a producer, but then obviously I learned to love that creative yeah. side of it as well. So, yeah.
How did you start the producing side? Because I think when we first met, I don't know if you were writing at the time.
I don't think I would have been. No. I mean, I think I started to play around on Ableton a little bit, but I was never like really passionate about it. Yeah. I did it again because I kind of felt like, oh, I should, but then it would go from opening up like Ableton yeah. sometimes for like 2 or 3 months to the next, yeah, which yeah. was really silly. I think I was like more interested in going to like Raven. The clubs and training and everything else. But then I actually was like, okay, no, like I want to be able to play my own music, especially when I'm going. And then you realize how important it is because yeah. that's what people want to hear. And then it's like your music, not just you playing others. And then touring and traveling a lot, like you said, like even when you're on the road, like I found actually I wrote the best ideas, and it kind of led to that, like, and having this little love for this thing on a computer, like, yeah. a program to be able to express
yourself when I miss it so much. It's like this month is like, it's been for me, it's been all right the whole time, but this month has just like hit me, like struggled massively. I'm like, this shit needs to change.
Yeah, that's, I think the worst is because it's like, not only was it winter and that's like tough enough, but it's like you get told that by this month and this month and this month, and it's like, okay, here we go, just get up and go again.
Yeah, in the UK we're kind of, we've as of Monday we started opening things up, which will, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah.
But
that's exciting though. At least like every country can like look at the next one and see, and then hopefully they follow.
Well, I think this is the thing, is like everyone in their own country just hates their government because it's just like, and this is what cracks me up, is like, because obviously like in the jobs that we do, we've got friends all over the world.
Yeah.
And then you speak to your friends here and they're like, fucking government, they're doing an awful job. And then like everybody I speak to in different countries are like blaming their government, and it's like,
exactly.
We're all in the same boat. The whole world is in the same situation, apart from Australia and New Zealand right now, and motherfuckers.
I know, they're having a good old time over there. And I'm like, and then I'm like, also, and I'm not a person to like go back on like, oh, I should have done this, but I'm like, I really should have just gotten a flight. I'm like, why was I thinking that I should stay here for winter?
Yeah, that's rough. Do you still have family over there?
Yeah, like my parents are there, like all my family's there.
Whereabouts?
Between Adelaide and Melbourne.
Okay.
And
Adelaide is a wild place.
Yeah.
That is a it's a strange place.
It's good for like beaches and wine.
I've played like a bunch of shows there, and every time I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I here?
That's why I laugh, because I'm like, that's where I grew up, and I was like, that's why I had to get out of this straight away. I was like, there isn't, I've done everything I need to do in the city.
yeah. Australia is an interesting place for house music in general.
Yeah, it really
is. Or just for music generally.
It's just like quite, I mean, I used to always say it was quite behind, but now it's definitely caught up with music and everything like that. But then they've just created their own styles as well.
Yeah, it's wild because you get like artists that are just so big in Australia that aren't big anywhere else. And you'll see them play in Australia and they're like sell tens of thousands of tickets. And then they come... like no one knows who they are like anywhere else. They almost have to go, they have to like move away to like kind of get big or somewhere else. But it's weird because with the internet you'd think that it wouldn't make a difference, but it really does.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's crazy like that. I think like, I mean, I know so many other Australian artists who did, they left perhaps even around the same time that I did, around like 10, 11 years ago, like, because it was like, okay, if we're going to get anywhere, like you just need to be based in either the US or Europe. Otherwise for touring, it's impossible. And yeah, obviously competition, when I say competition, it's just like the, like awareness is really high. And like,
I think you, that's the thing, you hit the nail on the head in Europe, well, in America, you've got God knows how many cities that just have a club that you can tour
just in.
One or two clubs that all play like house and techno. But in the UK, like in each city, there's like three or four clubs.
Yeah.
And the rest of Europe is pretty similar. And you're just like, there's so many more opportunities here.
Yeah.
And there's just so many more people.
Exactly, yeah. And who also like house and techno. Like, whereas it's a bit more EDM and like...
Not a bunch of surfer dudes. Surfer.
Yeah. And also, yeah, the difference, I think, that I found even from Australia, it was a lot more on like image. I mean, it's obviously not just like that in Australia, but for me, I just found it was more focused on image than the actual music itself. Like again, back 10 years ago.
Yeah. The EDM boom over there kind of stayed there for a long time.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they created this awful sound called Melbourne Bounce. Yeah, what the actual fuck is that?
Still thriving.
I think there's a dude called Will Sparks that's like huge, and like I occasionally get people like on my Instagram and be like, because we got like similar names, and I'm like, that's not me, please don't tell me.
Not
I'm sure Spark. There's no offense, I'm sure Will's a lovely guy, but
no
that music is, I don't understand it.
No, I'm the same. That's why I'm like, I can say honestly, I love all genres, like, you know, for different parts, but there's some like,
Well, it's like Gabba in like the Netherlands is huge.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I've got a soft spot for Gabba and like Goa Trance, but
shut up.
That's in my wild side. That's when I've got too much energy.
Juliet Fox has like a pseudonym, an alias that just plays Gabba. On Sundays only.
When I was living in Ibiza, like my car, like it was an older V-dub, and the deck like would only take CDs, like couldn't get the radio, and it was just like, I found this cover CD actually, and I just was replaying it over and over, like to the studio and back. So I was like, yeah.
That's the worst. I remember actually once when I was at college, and one of the tutors was like into this, like, they called them laptop battles. And I don't know if you've like heard of these. You should definitely Google this after. It's like a bunch of the geekiest kids in the world, but they're all into like super like weird techno. But the reason why it's called backtop, it's not called backtop, it's called laptop battles. They make like, do you know the Mac OS X, kind of where you can kind of create your own patches?
Yeah. Like,
so it's literally these dudes who create their own patches and just like button bash and make music on the spot by like pressing buttons on their keypad.
So they've created it into like a controller.
It's fucking so geeky. But I remember one of my tutor colleges was into that, and he'd like always talk about it. And for some, I think I went out, I was like 17 years old in Bristol, and went to this, I can't remember, the Arc it was called, I think. And for some reason, like, it was the only place I could get into with like fake ID. And it was like a psy trance night, and he was in there like proper going for it.
His laptop.
Yeah. Fashion buttons. And I was like, psy trance had a bit of a soft spot in my heart for about a month of my life. And then I was like, nah.
Mine always creeps back in every now and then.
You get some pretty hard music in Berlin, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard.
Like, I think I play like on the real, real soft side compared to everybody.
You're like soulful house compared to everyone else in Berlin. Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say exactly. When I first moved here, everyone was just like, "Oh, is that what you make? That's what you play." I was like, "Hey, I'm sticking to this." I'm like, I like the Berghain techno. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, I just can't make it. I don't understand how it goes so fast.
It's hard, isn't it?
I was like, my head would probably blow off in the studio if I was making that.
Yeah, it's really hard. My roommate in Detroit, he makes stuff like that. Plays in like Trezor occasionally and stuff in Berlin, and
yeah,
like I have a studio upstairs and he has one in the basement, Of course, because like it kind of fits with his music that he kind of has to, but just back in the basement where you belong. And it was just like his production is unbelievable, and I'm just like, I don't know how you do that, but it's hard, mate. Like, yeah. It's really hard. But then he has like an Alias project that it just does ambient, and I think that kind of like balances him out.
Like the complete opposite. It's and then just pads. It just like turns off all the bass and the kicks.
It is. And then, but it's really interesting because when it's done really well, there is like, it is like a true art, because it's so repetitive. And yeah, it's so like, but there's something about making a groove that's that good and it doesn't get boring.
It's interesting with, when you make music, isn't it? And kind of like the mood that you're in when you go in, or the mindset or something.
Yeah, it's mad. I love it.
Yeah. I generally like, I never go in with a plan. I'm just always like, okay, let me see what comes from it. But then sometimes I'm like, okay, like, you know, try and make it more defined, or like more faster or harder or something, but it never seems to work out. I don't know, I always added too much melody or something.
Just making gabber all day, it's fine.
It's tiring.
So with the label, have you signed other artists, or are you like, what's the kind of process with it?
For the moment, I'm just putting out like some of my own music, but it was just more to maybe for at least like the first year to have it, with my art and my own music. But then I want to expand where I do collaborations with other artists. So I don't think I would have just solo releases from other artists, but it would be more like to have it a bit more like that
collab
feel. Family. And also with the artwork, like then if we've done a collaboration, perhaps get the other person to paint or see what they come up with.
Just
or whatever.
Never ask me to paint. If I ever do anything, never ask me to paint.
You never know, you might have this other side.
I think my 4-year-old niece is better at painting than me. Jesus.
But it would be interesting for that. And like,
I think it's really cool, because it's like it's doing it's adding to the kind of the like 100% of being the artist and having full control over everything.
Yeah, it's nice just to do that, like an expression.
Totally. Do you like, was there any reason that you started the label?
I mean, like, I think it was almost about 9 or 10 years ago. I actually had a label that I was managing and looking after, and
what was that?
This was like Beatdown music, like back from, but that doesn't even exist anymore. It's really nice, and I loved actually being involved with like running a label.
Whose was that?
That was Sonny Federer's.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Also from Adelaide.
Yeah, makes sense.
It was great. Like, I loved, helping like say other artists like with, you know, their releases and being involved with it and kind of like doing the A&R, and I really loved that part of it. But then at the time I kind of realized I wasn't concentrating on myself so much, like as in my own music and things like that. So that's why now I wanted to revisit it with a different approach, but then to go into like more collaborations and stuff like that later.
I think it's different nowadays as well, isn't it? Because you can you don't need anyone to release your music for you nowadays. It's just like, realistically, you need an Instagram. You need your Instagram. You need a bit of a following to kind of for the music to go well. And you just got to hope that someone likes it out there, really.
Yeah. I mean, Spotify wasn't around then. It was like literally like, you just had to have good relationships with like all the platforms, and that was it.
Yeah. I don't know who I was talking to. Oh, it was Friend Within I had on the podcast last week. And can you remember stompy.com?
Yeah.
We were just like pulling out all the old like download places, and you're like, where did they go? What happened to them?
Yeah, you don't even remember when they went.
Track It Down. Can you remember Track It Down?
Yeah.
That went. I actually, one of the guys, Ed, I think it's Ed. Did you know any of the guys from Track It Down?
No, I didn't actually. No.
So Ed actually ended up managing Maceo.
Oh wow.
For like a long I was in grade management. Have you heard of grade management?
Mm-hmm.
I was in their offices with Ryan, my manager, maybe about 2 years ago. And Ed was like, are you Will Clark? And I was like, yeah. I was like, you've fucking grown a beard, haven't you? I was like, yeah, but who are you? And he's like, it's Ed from Track It Down. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, what happened? He's like, oh, I'm managing Maceo now. I'm like, not a bad change.
That's a pretty good shift over.
he managed Claptone from like day one as well. Wow. Yeah, he'd done amazing stuff.
That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, to see how people move about or whether they just completely leave, like, the music industry or something.
Yeah, one of my best mates. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I think that's probably what we're missing now. Like, you know, you've kind of just said, because you're not really interacting, you know, you're not meeting anyone in a back room, like, or a green room.
It's true, isn't it? It's what I was saying the other day. It's like, that's why I kind of started this, is even in the green rooms, you don't really get to have a proper conversation.
Just yelling.
It's just like, yeah. And like having to deal with the dude like gurning in your fucking face. who brought this one in?
It's not my friend.
Yeah. And it's so nice to like see, like, let's say for instance, like yourself, like we've known each other for years. We've never really had a conversation like really, if you know exactly what I mean. We were like, yes. Hi, bye, what have you been up to? It's fucking hot outside today. Like, it's just the usual, if you know what I mean.
Of course, and actually just sit and have a real conversation. No, it's really nice, and it's, I appreciate you asking me on.
No, I was talking to one of my best mates this morning, and he was like, he was talking about, he was listening to someone on like Instagram Live, or like a DJ that was like a proper, like, can you remember Lee John from Lee Ibiza? John.
Oh, I probably would.
Proper like Jack the Lad, like typical Ibiza resident, lovely guy, like really nice guy, but proper like Jack the Lad. And then my mate was like, oh yeah, I was talking to him online. He was doing like a live stream. And I'm like, wow, like it's amazing how many people you come across in your life that you just kind of forget about.
Yeah,
but it's just like part of the journey of life.
No, 100%. Like, and because it's like, I know you're the same, like we've met so many people like that. Like sometimes you're like, you feel bad, like you don't remember specific like details or whatever, but I think like there's it's meant to be that you can only remember, like, I can't remember even the number of what it is, but it's an X. And there's maybe like a couple of hundred people maximum. They're like their names or something like that. And they're kind of replaced with others.
Yeah. It's nice to see people evolve as well. Because I remember from us meeting, like how much both of us have changed in what we do in our careers. And it's like, who would have ever have thought like you'd be living in Berlin,
exactly,
like doing what you're doing, me living in Detroit, and it all started from Ibiza.
Yeah, and Detroit is such an amazing city as well. Like,
have you been there?
I went once for Movement.
Oh, okay. Did you play?
I played not at Movement, but like an after it was party. Like an official after party with Octopus.
Oh, cool, with Graham.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one was that?
I'm trying to think, was it 2018?
Yeah. My best mate was taking the photos of that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was pretty amazing. I was like in some really, really dark basement and definitely been partying like for quite some time. And I had to use the Model 1 mixer for the first time and never had. I was like, okay, here we go.
I've still never used it. Is it any good?
I actually really like it. Yeah.
I haven't used it.
Yeah, no. It's cool.
I'm not cool enough yet for it to like be on in like clubs that I play at.
I know, yeah. I just seem to like get hold of it like randomly and for short times, and then I'm like, and it goes on. But
it is funny when you like you're on beforehand someone and they've got this like extensive ride here, and I'm just like, oh, I don't fucking know what to do with this.
Like, can I just press and it will go again?
Can I just press sync? Just sort me out.
Move it off.
Definitely.
When those times come again, it's like, I mean, I must say, like, what's like really helped though is, as much as everyone I think perhaps was like with live streams and blah blah blah, like, that's probably taught me a lot.
Have you done much live stream?
I haven't done like loads, but like enough to like in different like locations or whatever it might be, or setting up, you know, just in the studio. It's been like interesting to learn how to do all this stuff and how to present yourself to use a camera and preparing my sets, because I never would prepare them as well, like, or trying to at least, and doing more like guest mixes, you know. It's probably reset the way I think about music a little bit more.
I haven't done a live stream, but I was thinking about that this morning, and where you're not reading a crowd.
Yeah.
So there's like nothing to go off. So you're literally just like you're just playing music that you want to play.
Exactly. And that's it. And it's like, it's also again like playing more of the tracks that you really like.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I guess it's kind of good.
It's kind of cool to be able to do that as well, and then it'll be a bit more weirder and creative, because it's like, okay, like, I'm not gonna clear the dance floor on this one.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about people leaving the room. It's just to tell yourself they've gone to eat some dinner or something like that.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't done it. I haven't got decks here in the UK, which is stupid. I literally, right before the pandemic hit, I bought Pioneer turntables, the vinyl decks. And I was gonna get like CDJs, and then the pandemic hit, so everything is literally at my house in Detroit and just not been opened the whole time, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. So annoying. I actually had like a carpenter come over and was like, he was gonna build like a table for it and everything, and I had to text him, was like, mate, just don't bother, just wait till I'm back.
I understand how that is, because it's like, I left like a bunch of stuff in Ibiza as well. And when I got here, like when I moved back to Berlin, I was planning on going there and coming back with some, and I managed to at least bring back, I brought back my turntables from Ibiza, but I couldn't get everything else. And then, it was like starting from scratch almost. Yeah. Like, and I was like, I shouldn't be spending any money right now, but I'm like, okay, well, I want these speakers. I'm gonna get this.
What have you bought?
I got like the Vocal Twins.
Oh, cool.
And then I kind of just, I started to just get a few bits slowly.
Yeah.
I got given the Denon players, which like is pretty cool to use actually. Like, they're like, yeah, it's nice to have those. And then I've got my turntables at home. But I'm like, it's taken me only up until like recently to really get like both of them set up in all this time. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready now.
I really like what that Hoare company is doing. Have you done that yet?
I played just late last year for the first time, and I loved it. It's so just something cool, like really special about like, well, it's only small, like a small little area, but it's just got energy in there.
Is it like an old toilet or something?
Yeah, I think it's just like a bathroom with green lighting.
Is it like, in someone's house, or is it just random?
It's like, there's no like flat wall. I don't think it's part of anyone's place. But there's just like a normal kind of apartment block, and then there's like a restaurant next to it, which wasn't closed. It was closed, I should say. It wasn't open when I went there. But it was like on the entrance to it, it's like just a normal flat. So like a few of us were standing out there drinking, and we're like, we shouldn't be this, because people are just walking in and out to go into their own flat.
No way. So people live next door to it?
Yeah, I think people must live upstairs. And
I bet they hate them.
So whether they rented out just that flat to use for their own like office space, and then the bathroom, or whether it was just they took over just the bathroom, maybe. It's great either way.
Can I rent your bathroom, please? It's a cool bathroom, put it that way. It's fucking cool.
Exactly.
But again, you can only get away with doing things like that in certain cities. Because you need the amount of artists to like be in that city to go and do it.
Yeah, and I mean, and the people like there's a list, I should say, not people, but like it's like the waiting list is probably huge, you know, and I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
I think it's like at least 2 or 3 months in advance, yeah, like program.
And half the people on the program, like, I'm not cool enough to know who the fuck they are. I'm like, who? Whose cousin?
And like the plays, the reach is like huge on YouTube for some people. And I'm like, I've never seen or heard that person. Mm. I'm like, but obviously, like, the music's really cool and it appeals. So
they've kind of got this like amazing niche where it's super cool, but they've made super cool, but super commercial. And I don't mean that in a, like, that's not in a disrespectful way. It's just like, they've made something so cool that everyone wants to be a part of it, but they keep to their like morals. They don't, they don't start putting bigger people on to make it bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost the opposite. Like, yeah, the more like unique or like, the smaller the artists, like they're probably more well, like respected or something within Berlin or wherever.
It's mad. It's cool. I'd love to be able to do like, I'd love to be able to think of to do a project like that that's like super unique. That, do you think it's going to survive after?
I think it still will carry on because it was already like running, like say before.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. It's just been something which has been like a main go-to, which is great.
Mm. Love it.
It's funny because I always think of this as well myself, and I'm like, but then like you really have to dedicate yourself to just like that.
Yeah.
And I know the guys that work there are kind of nonstop. So it's
It's a full time job, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's like if you when I asked you about signing people to the label, it's like that is a full time job. The minute you start signing people to the label, and that's why I haven't signed anyone to mine yet. It's like, there's so much responsibility behind releasing other people's art. You're just like,
and making sure that they're like, positioned well and like the support and everything like that. Yeah. And you would feel bad if anything wasn't right.
Yeah. And you're just like, especially being like an artist as well, you kind of want to make it even better for them, the experience. Yeah. You want to make that experience like, oh my God, like Juliet's label fucking slams, and it's like an amazing time to just like be part of it. But I think that's where like things like Whore and like Boiler Room even started it like years ago. They create something that people just want to be a part of, and it's just so organic.
Exactly.
But I feel like you have to kind of have a bit of a crew. Have to be part of like a bit of like, have like a cool community around you.
Cool crew.
Yeah.
Cool cats.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Definitely me too.
Somebody help me.
Yeah, I'll leave that to the cool kids. What have you got coming up music wise?
So far, actually, just still on my own label. Mm. This is where I'm at now. I really need to like literally kind of lock myself away not so much after the Easter break, but more so I'll probably relax a little bit over this time and get back to actually writing some music for other labels.
Nice.
But it's interesting though, now that I've started just to go into my own label, that's all I can kind of think about doing and releasing on right now. But I know that's probably not the best way to do it.
I don't know. I think there's like two arguments against it, right? Like I'm releasing, for me, I'm releasing on other labels because the music that I'm signing to those labels, I wouldn't release on my record label, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I feel, and also I'm releasing on labels that are mates that I like have a real good relationship with, and that I know it's like more than just the music. I've kind of gone past the point of like trying to sign records to labels for like, I guess it's for like career gains.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like, I don't know. I think this is the thing that I've realized the most out of lockdown is that if you just keep doing what you do, eventually it will happen. If you just keep pushing forward. And I think like there's so many amazing record labels out there. that have like amazing followings and things like that. But you're never going to be the like, you're going to be the hot kid on there for like a year maximum.
Yeah. Unless you completely dedicate yourself to that,
to
one,
that label, and then, which is absolutely fine if you, if that's what you want. We've all got friends that want that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
For me, I don't want that. I don't want to be, and it's not even about being at the top. It's just about being able to control what I put out and when I put it out.
Yeah. No, I feel the same. I think it's just perhaps also after quite some time of doing that and being, like say in the industry and releasing and that, then you get to this point where you're like, actually, I want to do it more because I'm passionate about the music.
Yeah. Definitely. Right. Let's wrap this motherfucker up. We've just done an hour.
Nice one.
Yeah. How can people follow you and listen to your music, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, probably can go straight onto my website, which is www.julietfox.com.
And where did, sorry, I've got to ask this, and you've probably been asked this a million times, so I never ask this, but where did the Fox come from your surname? Like,
the Fox was actually because people always like give me this kind of a nickname, like, it's more of a running joke of this female kind of fox, and then it led into that, and then I was like, yeah, Fox will do. I was like, that's a cool name. It's like,
it's cool, I dig it, that's fine. Sorry, carry on with the plug.
But now, like, also the fact that my real surname is quite hard to pronounce, so it makes it easier.
Yeah, you definitely got an easier name.
But yeah, just on the website or anywhere, all my socials are like DJ Juliet Fox.
Sweet.
Like at.
Sweet. Well, thanks so much for coming on. When I'm in Berlin, let's catch up and grab some food. It'd be amazing.
Oh, sounds good.
It'd be good. Keep safe and see you soon.
Thank you. Peace. We'll see you. Bye bye.
And that is a wrap. Hope you enjoyed it. I would absolutely love it if you could go share it, give us a comment, give us a rating. Make sure you subscribe, and you don't have to if you don't want to. Keep safe. See you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.